Everyone. So the last time I spoke, it was Super Bowl Sunday, and now it's Coronavirus Sunday. So anyway, I can see there's a clear message being sent. I got you loud and clear. Anyway, but you're all here now, so we'll press on. I was thinking of over the last number of weeks about the seven deadly sins. There's not actually a list, like a biblical list of all the seven deadly sins. But I was just in some other things I was listening to. They were talking about the seven deadly sins, and I looked them up. And anyway, I was thinking about some of these things. And before we go through those, I'm just going to tell you a little story. There were two men, and they were both involved in criminal activities, different corruption things during their life, and of course, as it happens, one of the brothers died, and the other brother was kind of arranging the funeral for him, and so they had a priest who was going to do the service, and so the one brother who was still living, he said, he made it very clear with money and threats and the rest of it. He said, I want to be very clear. He said, in my brother's eulogy, I want him to be called a saint. So, of course, you know, what was the man to do? He didn't want to say no. So anyway, so the time came and the funeral was coming, and he came to give the eulogy, and he said, this man here that we're burying today, he was a liar. He was a cheat, and he was corrupt. He was a violent man. He had no self-control. He was full of all. And he went on. The list went on. He cheated everyone he knew. He was a terrible person by all accounts. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. And so, what I was thinking about with these, sometimes with the seven deadly sins. I'll list them. Let's even list them quickly here. I have them. We're not going to talk about all of them tonight. The seven deadly sins are, again, there's no biblical list. It's just a kind of a traditional list that we have. And so they would be pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, wrath, and sloth. And so we're only going to look at one of them tonight, in fact. But the angle that I'd like to take on them is that we are very good at this. People in general, and Christians as well, we're no different. We are very quick to point out the big sins, right? Maybe adultery, right? We can see, it's measurable, we can see it, and we're quick to point that that's wrong. Nobody argues that that's right, right? That's wrong. And, drunkenness, well, we know that's a big one right off. And drugs and substance abuse, and physical cruelty and corruption. These are very obvious sins, and we're very quick to point them out. And sometimes we spend almost, not that you could spend too much time understanding what sin is, but sometimes we focus more effort. We certainly focus more effort on these things. These are bad things, and we forget some of the smaller things. Right, lack of forgiveness, and bitterness of spirit, and holding a grudge against someone, and a lack of generosity, and just in going through these seven deadly sins, I got thinking, sometimes we take these sins, and not only do we, we don't look at them as closely in ourselves as we should, but we almost begin to praise them. And so, for example, I've heard this said numerous times about let's take the sin of greed, just for example. And I myself I'm greedy, right? I just am. I like stuff and in excess. That's what happens. And there'd be very few people in here that would say I'm just content with everything I have. I don't need anything more, right? But this crops up sometimes, and there have been times where I have, for example, missed meetings of the church because I was working. And like you almost get a pat on the back for it. Boy, ambitious young fella. Out there working, driving away. Boys, that's great. And of course it feels good to get that said, and then you think, wait just a second here. That's not right at all. Like that way, that's completely backwards. And sometimes we do this with, sometimes we look the other way at these things, or we praise them. And so, I think part of our Christian life, it's true. Right? This is the will of God. Even your sanctification, and the will of God is not just for us to abstain from the big five, right? It's to have a really deep look at our life and root out every bit of corruption and unrighteousness and the flesh in our life. A.W. Tozer called the flesh in us. He talked about taking out a tough, fibrous root, right? And we're very good. Same as lawn care, right? We're very good at running the lawnmower over the weeds and cutting off the, and it looks good for a little bit, doesn't it? But we forget it's too much work to go around. Of course, in the commercials with the golden gold or the claw or whatever, it looks very easy popping all these weeds out. But it's hard to do. It's hard to get below the surface. And when we're dealing with human problems, it begins to hurt, doesn't it? Right, when you have to begin confessing your sins to one another, being open and honest about sins and really dealing with it, it's hard work. And that's just, and sometimes we don't talk about that enough, just the fact that Christianity is hard work if we're going to do it properly. It's not just an easy, carefree life that the Lord wants us to live, right? There's work to be done. So I'd like to talk about, might seem a little bit, maybe a little bit like a blindfold dart shot, but I'd like to talk about gluttony tonight. I hear lots of sermons about gluttony. It's all over the place. No, I'm kidding. You don't hear about that much. But I'd like to talk about it, and particularly because it would be one thing that I don't feel like I'd get up here and I can't really wag the finger at many people, because this is something that I struggle with. I love food and drink in excess. I like it. I just want to read a verse. Let's just turn in your Bibles if you have them. We're going to go probably to three or maybe four verses tonight. So the first would be 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. You might know this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. I might have got that mixed up. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12. All right, and there's definitely a lot in the context here, but we'll focus just on this one verse for now. And this is the Apostle Paul writing. All right, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Food is meant for the stomach, and the stomach for food, and God will destroy both one and the other. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And so, just on that first verse, in chapter 12, it's a very. I don't think anybody would. There's not too many disagreements about it, but we just want to talk about it a little bit. All things are lawful for me. So, on the issue of gluttony, right? Is it lawful to eat food? Of course. Right, we'd be either dead or completely condemned if it wasn't, because we all need food. So that's not the issue. Is not eating food or drink. That's not the issue. But not all things are helpful, right? So we can ask: is there an unhelpful way to consume things, or an unhelpful amount of which, at which we could consume things? Of course. And the qualifier here is at the bottom of the verse: but I will not be dominated by anything. And so what gluttony is. Really, the reason it's a sin, to eat or drink or take a substance into your body, let's say more than what we need, would be, the reason it's a sin is because it's idolatry, okay? We all hear that, you've heard the phrase, I'm sure, right? We eat our feelings, you've heard that phrase. And believe it or not, almost, I would say, unless you don't eat sugar at all, and are perfect as well. We all do this to some extent. It feels good to eat, right? Eating does something to our body. It comforts us. And again, there's nothing wrong. I'm not going to lay down strict rules here, because this is just, it's too hard to do that, right? This is between you and the Holy Spirit. These are just simply truths from the Bible. So So gluttony is, instead of relying, right? And this is where the sin comes in. Instead of relying on the Lord for strength or for comfort or for peace, right? We instead, there's a verse we'll read later on in Philippians. We should read that in Philippians 3:19, because that will explain it. So this is why gluttony is idolatry. Philippians 3 and verse 19. Their end is destruction, their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Just hold your finger there, because we will be back. Right? So their God is their belly. And that's what we begin, and that's, it is so easy to do this. To, instead of serving God, instead of giving our best to God, instead of pursuing God, right, we pursue, like, it sounds so trivial, we pursue the food and the next meal, and we get into a habit of doing this, and we get addicted to all sorts of different things. And this is medically proven that, I forget what the stat was. It was something like a third of North Americans would be considered clinically addicted to sugar. And so, you know, and if you want to try that, easy peasy, just go off sugar for a month and see how you feel, right? And it'll happen. And so we're all in this in different levels. But there's an idolatry there, serving our bodies, having, right, it says their God is their stomach. That's what we're seeking to please. That's what we're seeking to satisfy. And of course, as with any idol, it's a fruitless campaign. You can't actually satisfy the needs of the body completely, and so we begin to be a servant to our bodies, and of course medically as well. As all sin leads to death, ultimately leads to physical death as well. Or early death. Anyway, we're not going to get into all that, but gluttony. Gorging or binging and eating to an excess begins slowly to be a sin, and again this is hard. like this is hard stuff, and the little crevices of Christianity and the places in our life where God wants to sanctify us. He really has an interest, and again this is, of course, now your God can become your body as well, right? That's the other side of it, right? Where the whole life and the whole Instagram feed and the whole thought pattern comes to, controlling the diet and restricting the diet so much that your body is your God. That's wrong as well, right? That's another excess. But we can see from the Word of God that the Lord has an interest in purifying every area of our walk as a Christian. Which is encouraging that he intends for us to honor our bodies, and he gives us a purpose with our bodies as well. And so, in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, just look back at that for a minute. As we're thinking of, we're thinking of gluttony, the opposite, right? There's an opposite of all of these. Seven deadly sins, they call them the seven heavenly virtues, that traditionally this is what they've been called. And so the opposite of gluttony would be temperance. And we think of, right, there's the temperance movement in North America, which is specifically against alcohol, which would, against drunkenness would certainly be a portion of gluttony. It's a little bit bigger than that too. But so temperance is actually the virtue that we're after here. And temperance, if you think of a temperate climate, in the Mediterranean, close to the water, it's a temperate climate, meaning it doesn't get too hot, it doesn't get too cold. They have hot days and cool days, but it's not like in Canada or up north where it gets, let's say definitely in Canada, we are not a temperate climate. It gets hot, it gets mostly cold, and then stays cold for a long period of time. So in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 12, we'll read it again. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. And so, of course, domination means, slavery. This is what, and Paul is saying, I won't be dominated by any of these things that I'm allowed to do. Are you allowed to go to a buffet? Sure. Like the Bible does, you're allowed to do that. Are you allowed to, you can go to the grocery store and buy as much as you want. But the question is, are you being dominated by that? And this takes some real inward work, really, doesn't it? This takes a real inventory of what's going on in our bodies. But we can see, if we're not dominated by anything, there's freedom there, isn't there? And so temperance. Temperance is freedom. It's freedom to the Lord. This was Paul's goal. I don't want to be dominated by anything and have anything dictating to me what I should do. I want to be a servant of the Lord. I want to choose willingly to follow the Lord. And so this is, again, maybe you don't see this in your everyday life, but this is what happens as a glutton, right? And I've been there before, right? After a huge meal. Right, just as a perfect example, right? If a huge meal, what do you feel like doing after Thanksgiving dinner? You know, what do you feel like doing? Right, we lay on the couch and you go to sleep, right? Or somebody suggests like taking a picture or something outside, and everybody's like, "Oh my goodness, like really? We got to move, like walk all the way to that tree, you know?" And we don't want to do anything. You just want to lay there and do nothing. And so, you know, this is so we could just ask the question: Is this the state that the Lord would like us to be in? That's just the question. And if we do that, of course, if we do that consistently, right, there's a pattern of sin where we're not able to be obedient to the Lord. We're not able to submit, right? Because we're having naps. Or if we do that, you know, long term, right, we don't have bodies that are useful to the Lord. And again, I'm not making rules, I'm not telling you, right, how many calories a day we can eat. This is between you and the, you know, the Word of God and the Lord Himself and the Holy Spirit. But there is freedom. We'll look at the positive side. There's freedom in temperance, right? I remember reading about this years ago in Jim Elliot's diary, and Jim Elliot, before he went to the mission field, he restricted his diet. He cut out, like, he realized, if I am going to the Lord and going to be living in, you know, in subpar conditions, I'm going to need to be healthy for that. And so he would go out, like he would run. Different ones of his friends would see him like running on the track at the college or something. And he's running. He's getting his body in shape and fit to serve the Lord. And so this is where we should be thinking, right? Being temperate in our, especially in our diet, what goes into our body, so that we can serve the Lord with what we do. Just go over to Philippians 3 and verse 19. We just read that a few minutes ago. And so temperance is freedom. That can be your takeaway. If you're taking notes, we can write that down. Temperance is freedom. Philippians 3:19, we'll read that again. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And years ago I went to a friend's house, and anyway, it was kind of a funny story, but not tonight because we're talking about gluttony. So anyways, the long and the short of it was, I ended up eating way too much food, like an obscene amount of food, and it was talked about. It's still talked about. But right here in this verse in Philippians 3:19, right, it says, "Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame." and we all have those, and sometimes it's all in good fun, I guess. But we certainly joke, right, about that young fella, boys, like he could like four trips back to the buffet. Oh my God! And we just like almost like this guy is amazing. You know, look at how much he's eating. And anyway. Not to take away any jokes from anybody, but that, like, when we really think about what we're saying, look at that man. He is so able to put himself in a position to be unused of the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Like, anyway, and we don't say that about other things. We don't say like, oh man, like Jesse, he plays like he's like downstairs on that Xbox for like 8 hours a day. Like, what a trooper. You know, we don't think about it that way. We think, you know, like, well, isn't he working? You know, shouldn't he be at the meeting, you know, or something? And anyways, I simply want us to just think about that. Think about what kind of a position we're putting our body in. And I'm not saying you can't have a big meal and enjoy food, but if this becomes our God, right, we're going after that. We're going after that that feeling, and we're eating we're continually eating unhealthy food, long term, this is, we put ourselves in a position to be unused by the Lord. And so, and then, so in verse 19 and 19 and 20, it's contrasting the previous part of Philippians 3 when Paul is talking about, these are familiar verses, when he talks about counting all as loss and pressing on to the goal, right? And then of course he says, you know, the people who are walking in, you know, in with their God as their belly, their end is destruction, they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. And so we can say that temperance is freedom, and freedom from substance addiction, right? From, let's call it what it, like a sugar addiction or a coffee addiction, or different foods that we eat, or a snack addiction, right? Freedom from those. It's not that we can't indulge. It's not that we can't have those things, but we have to consider: are we dominated by them, or are we free to choose not to have them? That's the question, really. And so freedom from those things is a freedom to set your mind on heavenly or eternal things. This is what the passage is saying. And so so freedom from those things allows us, it allows us to turn our thoughts towards towards eternal and towards heavenly things. And I wonder for myself, we struggle so often. I struggle. I won't even say we, because you know yourself. I struggle so often to set my mind on heavenly things. And I'm sure there's myriad of reasons for that, but I don't think it's helping to be in a state of craving, craving food, or just having eaten food, or having my there's all sorts of studies about sleeping better if you eat better. And so these are all reasons to take into account as to maybe why we have trouble thinking about heavenly things. Our body is a real thing. It's not an inanimate object. God has given us a body, has designed it, right? We are wonderfully made and crafted in our mother's womb. Like, our body is actually intended as a vessel for God's service. It's part of our toolkit that we're given here on earth, right? We're given our mind as well, and different things, and we have spiritual gifts, and all of that, the vehicle for all of that is in your body. It's important. And so I just wonder that about myself, and maybe you can spend some time thinking, you know, is that part of the problem of focusing on heavenly or eternal things? Is that I'm so caught up in my own body and craving, having my stomach as my God? We'll go to our one of our final verses here, Psalm 119, verse 70. This was Psalm 119, verse 70. Here it is. And so there's a in the ESV it says, their heart is unfeeling like fat, but I delight in your law. And another version reads, their hearts are calloused and unfeeling, but I delight in your law. And so I was thinking about unfeeling like fat and calloused and unfeeling, and anyway, and of course, it came to me though that this is the way that one feels, after eating and consuming a ton of food, and this is the way, as any addiction works, any addiction, whether it's maybe sexual in nature or with food or in terms of your inner desires of lust or all sorts of things, what it does, and food does this as well, it shuts down our feelings. Right? The contrast here is their heart feels this, but I, this is the psalmist writing, but I delight in your law. He's saying the opposite of being calloused and unfeeling is having delight, right? He's feeling an emotional connection, presumably a spiritual connection to God, right? He's alive to God. There's an interaction there, and we can look at it to ourselves again after that Thanksgiving dinner, right? That is not one of the words I would use to describe my feelings. It's not alive and engaged, right, after a huge meal. It just isn't, right? You feel like sleeping, you feel just kind of drowsy and tired. And so again, if we had to choose, right? We look at the opposite. I delight in your law. And what's the opposite? Right? Callous towards God's law. Unfeeling. Right? And again, this is, we're putting our bodies in a position to not be able to respond to God. And so, so again, this is, so we're replacing the delight of the Lord with something else, whether our God is our stomach, right? These are the two options that we have. And so, anyway, again, just, if we could just go back, well, just refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 again. I want to kind of keep going back to that because I think it is really, really powerful. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. So I just want to just make sure that you know tonight, it's so hard to make rules on this stuff, right? We try that. And this is, of course, the purpose of, you know, we've got 17,000 different diets, right? Because we like making rules around food. Like, what's healthy? I don't know. Let's make up, and you look at every diet, and it's like, well, really? Like, you know, Baconators, but you can't eat carrots? Like, that's keto. You know, it's like, I don't know. But we like having these rules, and if we can kind of force ourselves into these patterns. So the Bible doesn't do that. This is an open-handed thing. It's between you and the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to make rules about it, but I just want to open, maybe with the help of the Word of God, open your eyes to some of the things that we just don't normally think about. And it's a little thing, right? Of course it's a little thing. Maybe you have much bigger problems than this. That could certainly well be. But if you're asking yourself this week, and we should be asking ourselves as Christians, what's the next step we could take this week, right? We're not going to say, well, this week I'm going to sit down. I haven't been kind of scattershot in my reading and prayer. I think I'll read for a couple of hours a day this week, right? It's not realistic, right? But maybe this is a problem for you. Maybe this is an area that, with some reflection, you realize I need to work on that, and that is certainly what the Lord intends. He has an interest in seeing this area of your life sanctified. And again, it's just important to deeply consider these things. And I just want to bring up, as if you're looking through the Word of God, and you're looking for, you know, maybe looking for some help or looking for something that could be helpful for you. Fasting is a It's a very clear biblical principle. Jesus even says in Matthew 6, right? He says, when you fast, right? Not like if, maybe in the 21st century you guys are fasting still, right? He's saying if, like when you fast, it was a practice very common in Judaism, and it seems like Jesus is fully expectant of that to happen. I don't see it in the Word of God as a commandment that you have to do to earn some points with God. But just in doing a little bit of thinking about fasting, the purpose of it is sometimes maybe unclear in Scripture. So there's different people fast for different reasons. But to boil it down, it is helpful to have a little pang of hunger to remind you of a couple of things. To remind you, first of all, of your humanity, of your mortality, of your need for just your need for something, right? You need sustenance continually. And if you're fasting for the purpose of focusing on the Lord, it's a continual reminder to pray, especially if you're doing it for a purpose, to pray for this person, you know, 30 minutes later, to pray for this person. It's a constant reminder in you. And it's a good practice to deny yourself something. And this is something that I find it so hard to do. Not to toot my horn. I fasted this week, just for like, you know, supper until lunch the next day, and I realize how much I eat, especially in the evenings, right? So you fast from like supper, like 7 o'clock until like noon the next day, and like there's so many times walking by the chip cupboard, the cookie cupboard, the fridge, and you realize like I'm just constantly cramming my mouth full of stuff. I'm not hungry. Like I can go for, you know, for like half a day without food, but I'm just constantly eating. And again, are you allowed to? Absolutely, right? There's no rule saying you have to fast, but it's helpful to remind yourself that I need something else. I don't just need this food here, That's what Jesus said, of course, when he was tempted by Satan, right? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's a helpful reminder of that. And, you know, and of course, there's, you can look online, and more than the spiritual benefits, I think online has been populated with the medical benefits, but spiritual benefits are probably more important. So a couple of, hopefully this has been helpful. I certainly do not mean, I know this can be maybe there can be a certain amount of shame that comes out of this, and I certainly do not intend that. I intend this as an encouragement, right? To be temperate with what we put into our body, and hopefully you can be encouraged to have freedom through temperance, to set your mind on heavenly things, and ultimately awaken yourself to God, to be alive to Him, to delight in His law and in His person. And if we can do that, and if we can turn the sin of gluttony into the virtue of temperance, I think we'll set ourselves up for, actually we'll set ourselves up very healthily to deal with the other seven deadly sins. So maybe we'll talk about those another time. Maybe if there's a power outage or something, I'll get asked to speak again. And anyway, hopefully this has been an encouragement. And if you have questions about these sorts of things, I've been doing some research of fasting and there's more things to say about gluttony. So I'd love to chat. But hopefully this has been an encouragement. We'll just close in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we see in your word that you are concerned about every aspect of our Christian life. You have a desire for us to grow and to be sanctified and to pursue you in all areas of our life. And so we pray for help this week. This is maybe a small area of our life if we haven't thought about it much, but it certainly is a freedom from the things of this world, and putting our attention on you is paramount. And so we need every opportunity to do that. And so we ask for your help with this sin of gluttony that so many of us struggle with. Help us to know that you want to walk with us, that you desire our sanctification. It's your will, right up alongside with repentance and coming to you in the first place. And so we look forward to your work in us this week. Encourage us as we go, and help us each to be an encouragement to one another daily, as your word instructs us. In Jesus' name, amen.